When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I think a lot of people, maybe us included, don't understand the full working and power of the Holy Ghost, his mission. We're more informed by what we see, what we feel, and what we can touch, taste, and smell. The Holy Ghost we can't see, and yet we can see what he does, feel what he does. We can't taste, but yet he gives us the power to taste of the sacraments and know what they are. At baptism, which will be a lot of the theme in the church today, this being the octave day of Easter, you have an emphasis on those that have been baptized, those are the catechumens who were baptized on the vigil of Easter. We're talking about the vigil of Easter, how you have the blessing of the new fire, you have the prophetic readings, and then you progress to the blessing of the new water. And the catechumens at that point are baptized, and those of the faithful that have been baptized often renew their promises of baptism at that same service. And then you have the litany of the saints, and then you progress in the first Mass of Easter. But the Holy Ghost is operative in all this. The Holy Ghost comes to us when we're baptized. The Holy Ghost comes down and takes these elements, these consecrated hosts that I have with me today, and he, with the words of the priest, makes those in a sacramental way, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost gives us power to pray. The Holy Ghost gives us power to look within ourselves, and he convicts us of sin. So that last verse of that hymn we just sang, only sin can destroy the Easter joy. And the Easter joy comes from the Holy Ghost informing us of what it is. I have a reading from an ancient author. It's called Christ is the Author of Resurrection and Life. Paul rejoices that we are restored to spiritual health and cries out, as through Adam death came into this world, so through Christ, salvation was restored to the world. And again, the first man was from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven, heavenly, comparing Adam and Christ, the so-called second Adam. And he adds, as we have borne the image of the man of the earth, that is, of the old sinful nature, so let us bear the image of the man of heaven, that is, let us hold fast in Christ, to the nature that is saved, accepted, redeemed, restored, and purified. For Paul says, first there is Christ, that is, the author of resurrection and life, and those who are Christ, that is, those who live in imitation of his purity, those who live in unshakable hope because of his resurrection, those who are to possess within the glory promised to us in heaven. As the Lord himself says in the gospel, He who has followed me will not perish, but will pass from death to life. Speaking again of the theme of baptism, we're baptized into Christ's death, and we're raised into his new life. Again, another depiction of what the Holy Ghost does, and one of the great themes of Easter. Thus the passion of the Savior is salvation for mankind. This was why he willed to die for us, that we should believe in him and live forever. He will become for a time what we are, so that we should receive the promise of his eternity and live with him forever. This is the feast of the year for which we long, the beginnings of life-giving realities. Here is given us the grace of the heavenly mysteries, the gift of the Pasch, that is the Passover, our deliverance. In this feast, infants come to birth on the bath of life of the Holy Church. They are reborn with the simplicity of babes and cry out with the voice of an innocent conscience. Here chaste fathers and pure mothers present by faith a new family beyond numbering. In this feast, the baptismal font, the womb which begets pure life, is ablaze with the light of candles under the cross, the tree of faith. Here men are sanctified by the gift of heavenly grace and fed by the spiritual sacrament, the sacred mystery. Here the church gathered in brotherhood and unity is nourished, adoring the substance of the one Godhead and the powerful name of the three persons. They join with the prophet in singing the psalm of the annual feast. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. What is this day? It is He who is the source of life, the beginning of brightness, the author of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, who said of Himself, I am the day. He who walks by daylight does not stumble. That is to say, if a man follows Christ in all things, he will cross over in Christ's steps to the very throne of eternal life. While Christ was still in this bodily life, he prayed to the Father for us in these words, Father, I desire that those who have believed in me may be with me where I am, that even as you are in me and I in you, so they may remain in us. That is the Easter message, rebirth. We look to the cross with him hanging on it on Good Friday. Good Friday was actually the victory, but Easter proves that victory. When he said it is finished, it isn't meant, well, okay, it's over. No, the work is done. His saving activity is finished, it's completed. And Easter, that third day when he comes out of the tomb is empty. That proves the victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.